The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast. I'm here with Shotgun Start podcast host slash writer slash youth soccer coach extraordinaire, Brendan Borath. Borath, what's going on?
Not much. Good to be here, Kyle. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure and an honor. I'm no longer a youth soccer coach, though. I was removed from the sidelines. I got to take a break. A little too much iron fist. You know, I'm more of a disciplinarian. So
you got who was the guy whose son was on the team that got removed as the coach for the U.S. national team?
Oh, Bradley.
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
it Bob Bradley? Michael Bradley.
You got Bob Bradley'd?
Yeah,
your kids like on that. Your kids on the team, and you're removed from the the organization.
Yeah, it's just I guess I was too demanding. Ran too tight a ship. Recreation, city recreation didn't appreciate it. So I'm out. You know, these 4-year-olds need to learn lessons, build character. So, but
you're like the Bulls coach that makes them run line, like get on the line at practice. Okay, we got a couple things we're going to discuss. We're not going to be on too long, but wanted to touch on a few things. So Phil goes out first time he's played Vegas in 15 years. He goes out 65 in round one.
Played Vegas. I mean, he's played the Las Vegas tournament. He's been in Vegas playing a lot, I think, in 15 years.
DPC at Summerlin. I should more appropriately state. You know, to read through his transcript of the interview afterwards, he's talking about he's giving tips on diet and health and fitness and just all this stuff. And he has this special gift of making you feel like everything is sustainable forever. And then he'll go out and shoot a 76 on Friday or Saturday or whatever.
Right.
So what's the deal with him? What is your position on Phil right now?
I mean, that's a pretty good framing. I mean, for all the news, he's been in the news a ton. And the golf media just takes the tiniest crumb to kind of littlest morsel could feed a village for a week, right? You know, this golf media, we just blow these dumb things. I got to watch my language here. Is CBS, I assume this is a family podcast.
It's, my kids listen. Your kids could listen.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. You know, these little crumbs that we can take and just kind of feast on them for weeks. A video about calves, you know, which Phil is great. He is great at it. I just think we're kind of overdo it on the diet stuff. Yes, he's lost weight. He looks good. He's, you know, doing all these weird things. Oh, by the way, he's been horrible at golf since February. This was his lowest round since February. For all the news, you know, the constancy with which he's in the news, you kind of lose sight of the fact that he's not been very good at golf because everybody's making jokes and aggregating this and that and the other from his admittedly good social media account. But this was, I think, his lowest round since February, I thought I saw. So do I think he can still win golf tournaments? Of course. But it's just the level of attention he gets. And I'm not saying that's undeserved. It just kind of sometimes obfuscates actually what's happening on the course.
Yeah, totally. And I think the broader question for me, just getting outside of Vegas or whatever, is how much of a free pass does he get at these team events? Because this is a lot of what we're going to be talking about over the next year. You got President's Cup in December. You got Ryder Cup actually 51 weeks from today. We're taping this on a Friday. Not that I'm counting, but
why do we need a 1 year to the Ryder Cup celebration? Is that necessary? Why do we need that?
I don't know. But
all this stuff this week, I don't get it.
I came up. All right. I use Google Photos for all my photos, and it shows you like the time, like the way back, like a year ago and 3 years sure. ago and whatever.
Oh yeah.
So I got the 3 years ago this week, and it was it was us standing on that perch over the first tee at Hazeltine.
Yeah, oh, I've been getting like, that too.
Looking like lunatics after like not sleeping for like 3 days, and just
was best, the best week. Best week on the job for you?
Best week on the job. I think it always will be.
Yeah.
So where do we stand on him at team events? Does he get a free pass? I don't know. I'm curious about like what your stance is on that stuff.
I think in the past he has. So there's context now. We say this too often, but the United States side really is loaded with up and coming talent.
I know.
Right? And loaded with mainstays who are already in their mid-20s, you know? Like, you got to have a Justin Thomas on the team. You got to have a Koepka on the team. DJ, like, these guys, DJ's older. But, you know, there's, like, guys who've been, are veterans that are, you know, maybe still have 10 and 20 years ahead of them. So it's really loaded in the 30 and under set, and you obviously want to bring in the rookies who don't have some of that scar tissue. So I think, like, in the past when – you know, the rosters are being filled out by J.J. Henry and Boo Weekly and things like that. Of course, you know, Phil has meant so much to the game and he means so much to American golf. Like, it's a crime not to put him and Tiger on the team regardless of world ranking, in my opinion, in the past. Like, he should be on there regardless. He's proven himself. He should be there, even if they've not done well in these team events. But I think, like, it's a little bit of a different era. And the free pass ends when he... in France on a par five, you know, clubs down to a five iron or whatever it was off a par five tee box and hits it in the hazard in the water. Like, I just think like it really is form dependent more so than in prior iterations of these team events. The free pass, I think, is gone. And you have these Wolf and Morikawa types coming up that I think if you ask me this, like, 2 and 4 and 6 years ago, I'd say like, no, Phil has earned the spot to kind of stay there.
Yeah.
But I think that's changed a little bit.
I think it has too. And for me, it's sort of, I think it disappeared in Paris whenever he hit the ball in the water on whatever that was, 16, to end his match with Molinari.
Sure. I mean, he was unplayable. He was unplayable.
I know. And in the Ryder Cup, and you're like, the part that sucks is like, that's how you're going out. Like, that's it, you know, like
well, we'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that like the position of like the whatever task force or whoever, I don't know. I mean, he essentially is running things, which is part of the problem maybe.
Right,
but,
right.
I think that their position is that he does still get a free pass. And I don't know if that's the right position.
You think that's it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think we're going to see him in the President's Cup playing?
I don't know. I think we'll see him at the Ryder Cup, though.
Next year.
Yeah, I think he'll, like, do something at, like, Augusta or Wingfoot or something. And people will use it as, like, this jumping off point of, like, see, still got it. And, like, he was awesome against Sergio in 16. Remember Hazeltine, 9 birdies. And you're like, okay, yeah, but, like, what about the 15 78s he shot this year?
He'll be 50, right?
Yeah.
What? I mean, he was unplayable in the last Ryder Cup. Simply like almost just don't even send him out there. Just forfeit the mat. Like, he was that bad. He showed up at the start of that week that way. Well, which, you know, you feel for him because he does put so much into this. Like, he really does. Like, put so much more of his time into thinking about these things. And yeah, of course, he kind of maybe has like kind of an inequitable share of the power and decision making, but he does put more time into it than anybody. But I just think, like, you know, that last go around in France really lingers. And of course, there's a lot he can do, you know, this fall and next year to erase that. But geez, he's got to actually prove it this time.
Yeah, I think the frustrating part for me is him and Tiger are so, I think, and maybe I'm wrong about this, I think they're so, like, good and valuable as captains with with Tiger, like, you know, doing his like Call of Duty stuff and Phil work in the media. Like they're almost like the perfect duo to captain a team event.
Right.
And like,
what was your tweet at Bellerive that you got just ratioed into the earth?
This is what I, my corpse is still still sitting at Bellerive Country Club.
In the end, was prescient.
Yeah,
was so right.
I think you said like you take a lap through those mentions after Tony Finau got 3 points in Paris. But my point was that like Tiger. I said that Tiger on the Ryder Cup team is so valuable as a vice captain and captain because those guys will do whatever he says and he's good at it and he cares about it. And I think Phil is the same way. And you just don't like, you know what you're getting from them as captains and vice captains and like running the show. You don't know what you're getting from them on the course. And I don't know, man. Like I would love to see them kind of co-captain this thing, like 15 years into the future. I think it would be awesome.
I agree. I totally and completely agree. I think that's where they're most valuable. We have enough talented golfers nowadays. Yeah. And I think that's where they're most valuable.
Okay. Speaking of the Ryder Cup, I wanted to do, since we're doing this 51 weeks ahead of time and everybody was writing about it this week.
I don't get this. Why do we need a 1 year to the Ryder Cup celebration? What is this?
Well, what would you rather talk about? I mean, like, and this goes back to...
I'm happy to talk about it, but I don't know why. What are they going to say at a press conference 365 days before the thing starts? Like, but what are they going to say?
This goes back to Solly's point about how, like, the Ryder Cup should be every year. And I brought this up to a friend the other day. A friend who... This is a buddy at church. He follows golf. He went to the U.S. Open this year. He's not like, you know, he's just a normal golf fan. He's like 30 years old, just enjoys professional golf. Sure. And I was like, Ryder Cup every year. And he was like, I don't know. Would that devalue it? Like, would we care as much?
The scarcity of it.
But I said, like, do you not care about the Masters every year? Uh-huh. And that's always been Solly's point. And I think it's a great point. And it gets you away from like all the nonsense of it, like the pressers a year out and like all this, like there's just so much silliness surrounding it that if you replace that with more golf, I just think it'd be better for the event. No,
that may be right. That may be true. I'm open to it. I just think like, I do think there's a value in the scarcity of it. Like you have 3 days every 2 years and it just adds to the bigness of it.
It certainly adds to the pressure. Like I mean, it's crazy to think that like when we're at Whistling Straits next year, it will have been 4 years since we went to a Ryder Cup in the US.
Right.
That's such a long time. And
you know, what's crazy is that this has been like exclusively a Big Ten country event since 1999.
Yeah.
Since
Brookline?
Yeah. We've gone, you know, I think we did Oakland Hills, which we did Michigan, Louisville, which might as well be Indiana. You know, that can be Indiana. We'll throw that up there. We did Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, and now Wisconsin. Like, get it out of the – I mean, I'm from the Midwest. I'm from big – like, it's just odd that we've gone Illinois, Minnesota, Wisconsin. And it's just, like, now 20 years where we haven't – you know, you're talking about this interval of, like, this weight, like – Why have we not gone to one of the coasts and or somewhere south? It's October.
Yeah, but when I think of PGA of America, I think that part of the country. When I think USGA, I think the coast, right? I think Shinnecock, I think Pebble, I think East and West Coast. And when I think PGA of America, which is who runs it on the US side, I think more like mid. I think Valhalla, and I think
you don't think you don't think Frisco.
Well, I mean,
coming to you, man.
And they were at Bethpage last year. Maybe that's a terrible take, but
No. They have been the one where they've kind of, you know, explored more venues in the middle of the country. But I just think it's a little odd. It's weird that you've had, given that the scarcity of it, that it's every 4 years here, that you're now going, you know, you've not left the Great Lakes region, really.
Well, once they go to Bethpage in 24, they'll never go to a coast again. I promise you. So I wanted to do three Ryder Cup stories you're already tired of hearing about, and we and we have almost a year to go. So I'll go first, and I'll say course setup. Like we're already discussing like where the like pin sheets 51 weeks out. Like what are we doing?
No, are they really? Oh my goodness.
I mean, like not really, but kind of like you know, when we're on our home turf, this is how we like to. And it's like I don't care. Like just.
So I kind of like this one.
Okay.
I don't want to get in the weeds like you're talking about. You're right. I do feel like this becomes a point of contention. There's a little bristling on both sides. Like, I think, like, what did Stricker made a comment about? Like, we won't have the greens running at eight like they were in France. And, of course, there's the Rose segment, you know, the Rose all-timer about how it's set up like a pro-am. Like, these guys do bristle a little bit at each other, at the setup. So, I granted, I think there's only so much you can do, but – I don't mind it if it's a point of contention. I do care, like, that, you know, you're talking about pin sheets and stuff like that. The point of contention, I don't mind that as a – what else are you supposed to talk about?
Well, so. It was funny to hear – I think it was Patrick Harrington said they should have a neutral party set it up. And you're like, well, like, do they, like, fly Ernie Els in to, like, set up the Ryder Cup? How does that work?
Well, wasn't that supposed to be the case? Like, they took their hands off and gave it to a neutral, like, gave it, like, the captains were not supposed to have as much input, but it's kind of back to being really juiced and greased up for the home team.
Yeah, I don't mind it as a storyline. I don't need it for an entire, like, year and a half or whatever.
Sure. Totally.
Okay. So what's your first one?
The Stricker Wisconsin thing's just got to go. Oh, done. God. I'm out. I mean, we have a year of it, like, and I have no. You know, I love the people of Wisconsin. It's one of the greatest states out there. Steve Stricker's great individual. Love hearing about him. But, like, can we just stop hammering this into the ground? Like, yeah, he's from Wisconsin. We know it. Like, the question is, like, what does it mean to do this at home? Like, we're done. We don't need it. We don't need another story. I get, like, the local columnists probably got to write their thing like that. And the local news station's got to write their thing. But, like, stop. It's got to end. Like, I'm sick of it already. Like, both, like, Wisconsin's a great state. Just let it host. The Ryder Cup's a great event. Steve Stricker's fine captain. Let's stop talking about how he's from there.
Yeah, that was on my list too. It's, yeah, like we get it. It's not good. I've got Tiger being on the team. I just, like, let's get to, like, the U.S. Open next year before we talk about this. You know, people are, you know, is Tiger going to – and we're doing this with the President's Cup, which is more reasonable because it's here in 2 months. But I just don't – like, we need to talk about it next summer, not a year in advance.
I agree with that. Did he get points for his Masters win?
I think so, right? Yeah, I think
you get like
a
half a point or something.
I think it was the Euros that don't get anything until now. Like, they didn't get like Shane Lowry didn't get any points for his Open Championship win, which
is crazy,
and it kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I think that's a big one. That just you do get a little fatigue, but it's Tiger. It's like one of the most covered and overhyped. Not over, but hyped events in golf, so it's just going to be constant.
Do you think him and Hunter Mahan will be hanging out again at this Ryder Cup?
Is that Hazeltine?
Yeah, it's like no
Hunter walking around.
Yeah, remember you were listening to him and Noda, and I think Noda was there. Driving Tiger around, which is
yes, oh yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Darius Rucker was involved. There was a lot going on.
Niall Horan walking around everywhere. Just like that was like surreal, you know, walking inside the ropes for those. It's kind of a circus.
That was when I made the joke that Hunter was stopping through on his way to the web finals.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Cowboy on cowboy crime here.
Yeah.
It's going after an Oklahoma State guy.
I felt kind of bad.
I miss Hunter. One for me, another one I'm sick of, which is like the experience talk. Like, do you go with experience or not? Do you go with the rookies? Like, let's just see where we are next September, right?
Yeah.
Like, guys, like experience, our experience is getting our butts kicked, right? For like, that's our experience for the last 25 years. That's what we have. Like, it just, like, it's, everyone loves to talk about, like, Captain Stricker, what are you thinking about with Phil's experience? What do you think about the experience of Jim Furyk? Like, all these, like, I hate the word experience when we talk about the roster.
Well, that's like, it's like a college football team, right? Where you're like, you know, everybody's like, oh, the Oklahoma State has like 10 seniors on defense this year. And it's like, well, they gave up like 47 a game last year. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that information.
That's true. So experience gets, because, well, it's just covered so much. And you got to figure out how to talk about these things year round and about the rosters. So,
yeah. And I think that, like, the experience thing is overrated in that once you settle into, like, when, like, the first tee shot, that's a real thing for, like, new guys. I mean, sure. Everybody will tell you that is a, like, I mean, we all watch Webb at, where was that? Was that at Glen Eagles?
When yes. It, like, popped it up.
He hit it like 120 down the middle. Yep. So that's like a legitimate thing. But once you get past that, it's like, I don't know, like, are you feeling it? Are you like Thomas Peters at Hazeltine, you know? So,
right.
I don't know. I agree with you. The last one I had on my list was the Stricker Wisconsin thing. It's,
yeah.
I mean, you said everything there is to say about it, but it's tiring.
I don't have anything that I mean, the Stricker Wisconsin thing's a big one. Experience is a big one. I think I only have really two. Well, you know what I will love to hear about is Potty Harrington. If he's kind of, you know, he's patched things up with Sergio.
Mm.
Those two, not friendly at one time or another. I mean, he's called them. Patty's referred to him as a child
that
many times.
Well, I mean, not necessarily wrong. I know you're
allegedly
stance...
buried the hatchet. Allegedly, I think at Rory's wedding. I want to say maybe.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. I think one of the kind of underrated stories as we get closer is going to be, you're going to have some of these guys like Stinson, Rose, Sergio, Westwood. Some of these older guys, like, they're going to be pretty close to making the team, but it's going to be interesting to see how Harrington handles all that, because he cut down how many captain's picks he has.
What is it, three, right?
Yeah, it was four. Now it's three, which seems crazy. Like, I don't know why you would do that. If you're the European side, for how many like dudes they've had that have been doing it for a long time.
Right.
So I don't know. That part's going to be pretty interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, we got a couple. So I put out a question on Twitter for a mailbag. People sent in some questions about some Ryder Cup stuff, a couple of different things. We're gonna run through them real quick after we hear from our sponsor for the first time.
The sports calendar is heating up and FanDuel is making it even more exciting to be a part of that action. It's definitely multi-screen season with golf in full swing, of course, but we've got playoff hockey and playoff basketball along with the start of Major League Baseball season just to pique your interest. Basically 24 hours throughout the day. And right now, FanDuel is giving new customers $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's 200 bucks that you can use to bet on the tourney, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL, so much more. I use mine on golf, of course, but the way to get involved, visit FanDuel.com/first and make your first bet a big win. Again, visit FanDuel.com/first and make your first bet a big win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time, it all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. you can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone, and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects, and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Okay, Porath, we're going to roll through. These are going to be kind of lightning round, and then we'll get to how we want this weekend to finish in Vegas. So here's the first one. This is from Jay Rigdon. Here's a very dumb idea. What if the President's Cup was a play-in for the Ryder Cup? If the Internationals win, they get to face Europe. They get to face Europe the next year. If the U.S. wins and then they beat Europe, Europe heads to the President's Cup to try and keep their Ryder Cup spot.
Did they CC Jay Monahan on this? Like, it seems totally feasible. PGA America kind of yielding their money, their bread and butter, European Tour, PGA. I could just see everybody getting along, pulling this together. You know what it does, though? It heightens the importance of a President's Cup, right?
Yeah.
I think it kind of gives that a little bit more relevancy. Yeah. Even like now it's just like this thing that exists every 2 years, you know, Ryder Cup Junior, Ryder Cup Light, and it's not competitive. But here it's now like you're fighting to advance, to not be relegated. I don't know. It's a very good idea. It's not a dumb idea, but it has 0% chance of happening.
Yeah.
Right?
Like less than 0%. Just because of the way everything is structured. And yeah, I mean, it would be kind of cool. I don't know if Siwoo would be shushing the New York crowds with if the Ryder Cup was on the line. Yeah. It would be kind of cool. Okay, next one. This is from Wes Cyrus. He said, "I hadn't thought of this until now, Porath, but this is great. How much are you looking forward to Wolf versus Hovland in singles matches?"
I think this is one for you. I mean, this is your little cowboy
corner.
Yeah, going head to head.
By the way, you text me yesterday. You are down an apparent rabbit hole with college wrestling recruiting.
It's more of this character that y'all just got. I just said y'all, like I'm from Texas or Oklahoma. It's this character you just got, this Italian stallion. AJ Ferrari, was that his name?
Ferrari.
I don't know anything about high school wrestling nor college wrestling. So I was just like, somebody like, look at this character. And I just got intrigued by entire vibe and oeuvre.
It seems made up, like the whole thing. His name, his persona, his family. I got a text from one of my a buddy that went to Oklahoma State who he's very smart. Really funny. He just sent me the screenshot of his this Ferrari kid's family and said, he said, "When's the 30 for 30 dropping on this?" just the family. I mean, people should go look it up.
It's like a Jersey Shore episode dropped in Stillwater, right? I mean,
that's exactly what I said. I said, so Oklahoma State's wrestling coach, I don't know why we're talking about college wrestling right now, but
it's great though.
Their wrestling coach is named John Smith, and he's got like a farm. He's got like this big farm in Stillwater. He shares like peacocks with Gundy. Like it's crazy. But I said it's like Jersey Shore meets John Smith's farm. Like that's what it feels like.
So Wolf versus Hovland. Now that we've gone down that rabbit hole, yeah. I mean, it would be amazing if it happened. But it's the singles matchup. This is why we need the announcements to not be blind, right? We yes. need it to go one for one like they do at President's Cup.
Yeah. Which people have talked about, like, are they really blind? Like, what's going on there? But look, I would tune in just to watch, like, people throw names out there.
Totally. And the PGA of America can sell it, you know, and milk that thing dry. Like,
yeah.
You know, see all those brands at the 1 year to go. Press conference, it's just a show I would get into. I would watch
There would be so much pressure too. Like if in 16 when
Darren Clark.
Oh, Darren Clark, yeah. If Clark threw out Rory, then like there's so much pressure
to put Pat Reed.
on Davis Love to throw Pat Reed out there. Like you almost have to do it.
You get this fumbling. Like, you remember when like the Vikings forgot to get their pick in on time? Like, you have these like miscues every now and then. A guy who's just like can't make up his mind, has a plan, and then all of a sudden he gets, you know, short circuited. It would be great to watch.
It would be great. And you could have Phil like take the envelope to the podium and read it.
There you go. Phil's probably making some wisecrack that motivates some guy the next day. It'd be perfect.
He would open the envelope and be like, wow, can't believe this guy's going first.
That's so good.
It would be awesome. I don't think Wolf and Hovland are both going to be on the team. I think one of them could be.
We're talking about next year. Not, I mean, long term they are, right?
Yeah. I'm talking about 2020. I think the odds of them both making it are pretty I don't know. I just don't think they're both going to make it. I think one of them might. I think both of them could, but I would be surprised if both of them did end up making it.
I think we underestimate like how hard it is to do. It's just so hard. And like, granted, these guys are awesome. They're playing so good right now, but like, we've seen these kind of slumps, sophomore slumps, right? Mm-hmm. Like Joaquin mm-hmm. Niemann just won again. He's outrageously talented. He's their age. Like, he had to sort through some things this year. Norman Jean, who was like this can't miss, like,
yeah.
And he probably has a great career ahead of him. He's like really struggling to just stay on the web or the Corn Ferry, I should say, whatever it is. But like, that's not to say these guys are going to like fall off the face of the earth, but like there can be some regression.
For sure. So. I actually think Hovland has a better chance to do it on the year. I think Hovland's special. Like, I think he's really, really, I mean, I think Wolf is really good too, but I think I underestimated how special Hovland was. Okay. This one's just for you, and I hope you haven't seen it. You probably have seen it. What will Robert Streb's legacy be? Former FedEx number one or the guy who got popped for having a non-conforming driver?
What will Robert Streb's legacy be?
it's from your boy Deep Fried Egg.
Who is contemplating Robert Streb's legacy? What are we talking about?
I think it's Kansas State Hall of Famer more than anything.
Yeah. It might be like Manhattan, like the man in Manhattan, Kansas. Like, I don't know. His legacy is a guy on the PGA Tour.
I think his legacy, honestly, is putting with a wedge at Greenbrier. Like,
that's true.
And almost winning.
That is some red meat for me. Former FedEx Cup number ones and non-conforming.
Yeah, it was just, your wheelhouse. Okay,
you want to do a quick 90 minutes on driver testing or no? You know, don't want to go down that. I'm here and happy.
I DM'd somebody yesterday about how just the driver testing is, it's preposterous. Like, I'm gonna
go off the rails on this and get in trouble, but like it's there's a smoking gun already, and that's the testing regime. Leave aside the players, but the just complete abdication of responsibility and not having a legitimate testing program is already the smoking gun.
Anyway.
All right. Thanks to Deep Fried Egg. Good question.
This is from Duffy Wall Dwarf, which is hilarious. Okay, so real quick, just give me your one-word answer to all of these. Who's more likely to be on the 2020 Ryder Cup team? You're going to cackle at a couple of these.
Okay.
Jordan Spieth or Colin Morikawa?
Oh, man. Spieth. Right? Spieth. I'm not. Okay.
Patty Reed or Matthew Wolff?
Reed.
Remember when we buried Reed after Paris?
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. I was going to be persona non grata forever.
Yeah, and it feels like that's not really a thing anymore.
I can't believe it.
Bubba Watson or Cam Champ?
What? Me? I don't know. Neither. No, Cam Champ for sure. Bubba actually being on the team that's not a legitimate possibility in any way, I hope.
Tony Finau or Kevin Kisner?
Finau. He's more consistent.
Tommy Tolles or Jeff Maggard?
I'll go with Tommy Tolles.
Okay, we got, I think that's all the questions we got. Jamie Kennedy said over under 2.5 rookies on the U.S. Ryder Cup team.
That's so hard because so many of the rookies come via qualifying points, right? I think probably two. It always ends up being more than you think, right?
Yeah.
Probably over for the Americans, maybe three, probably, you know. You never know who it's going to be. It could be like a Ches Reavie type, you know, these guys that just kind of play well for 10 months.
I want Phil going to the podium up second for the U.S. team, Shea Reve.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. We associate rookies with like, well, it's going to be Wolf and Morikawa and these types. But like it's just, yeah, it could be a Ches Reavie kind of thing.
Don't forget, contrary to popular belief, Tony Finau was a rookie in Paris.
There you go.
Not at Hazeltine.
breaking news. Oh god,
that's an incredibly deep cut that nobody will get.
An old and deep cut.
Yes. Okay, it's time for the perfect finish presented by Amstel Light. Pour out every week we do just our dream scenario for how the week ends. We've got the Shriners this weekend, obviously. Phil in the mix, a lot of big names playing. Brooksy, apparently, who had surgery but didn't really have surgery.
What's that all about? What do you mean he didn't? Is he saying he didn't have it?
Well, he said he had stem cell, which is like not like you don't go under the knife. It's like
you're not knocked out for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like it's not really I don't know. The press conference was weird.
Oh. Okay.
But
you got Chase Koepka there. Chase. He might be low Koepka. Playing well.
What did he shoot on Thursday? I didn't even see.
He was like 4 or 5 under, I think.
Wow.
I think he shot like a 68 or something. 68 or better. Spot at the CJ Cup. I'm interrupting. I'm just taking the reins. Sorry. Cup. Limited field event. Chase Koepka.
Well, it's probably because he was 3 for 14 on challenge tour cuts this year.
Sorry, I interrupted.
No, that was a real number. I looked it up. 3 for 14.
That's amazing.
Okay, so I'll lead us just so you kind of have a feel for what we're doing here. I think Bryson going back to back in Vegas and then spending his Sunday night presser telling us about how he's been counting cards all week at one of the casinos would be just chef's kiss good. for a finish to the weekend.
He's counting cards, but he can't tell you his process. He'll make it sound extremely kind of advanced, but he won't tell you anything about it or how he does it.
And then you and Andy have you guys would have a professional card counter on next Wednesday to discuss, break down like where it went wrong.
Sure. That's good. Card counting. You could totally get in on that. Mine is Phil.
Yeah,
of course, Phil, the content generating machine. He's actually in it. He's playing well. He's coming down the stretch. He's late on Sunday, and then he just rinses one. You know how he made a 9 on a par 5 last week.
Oh yeah,
Safeway. Complete implosion on, let's say, the 16th. Makes like an 8 snowman. Gets off the course. He just ejected when he's in contention. Chantel McCabe's doing the post round interview. He goes, Phil, how long will this linger? And he goes, it's already gone. We lost the battle but won the war because the Packers just covered over the Cowboys to hit a 17 parlay I put down at Caesars this morning. And that's it. And then he walks off in the interview. lost the battle but won the war with the 17 parlay put down at Caesars. So that's my perfect finish.
He's definitely been on some 17 parlays throughout his years. Sure. Maybe this is why he actually went back to Vegas.
Could be. I mean,
football season.
I mean, I think he's been there a fair amount without the occasion of playing a golf tournament that's nearby. I would guess.
And that's been a unique perfect finish brought to you by Amstel Light. At the end of any round, you know what the perfect finish is. It's in a nice bottle of Amstel Light. Porath, this has been great. As always, it's so much fun to talk golf with you. Everybody should check out the Shotgun Start. Here's the biggest compliment I can pay. I've had to stop listening because I don't want to steal your takes. All of y'all's takes are so good and so funny, and I've got this podcast, and I will go back and listen like a week later or 2 weeks later, but I can't listen in the moment because I don't want to steal the take. So
I appreciate that. I do the same with writing like Sunday nights. Like I don't want to read yours before say it's Master Sunday. I don't want to read yours before I read, you know, before I finish writing mine, that kind of thing. But
I appreciate that. Thank you. Good luck getting reinstated in the soccer coaching world. And, I will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
See ya.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.